Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of St. John the Apostle, and it is also the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 15. He that feareth God will do good, and he that possesseth justice shall lay hold on her, and she will meet him as an honorable mother. With the bread of life and understanding she will feed him and give him the water of wholesome wisdom to drink. And she shall be made strong in him, and he shall not be moved. And she shall hold him fast, and he shall not be confounded. And she shall exalt him among his neighbors, and in the midst of the church she shall open his mouth, and shall fill him with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and shall clothe him with a robe of glory. The Lord our God shall heap upon him a treasure of joy and gladness, and shall cause him to inherit an everlasting name. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter, turning about, saw that disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, who is he that shall betray thee?" Him therefore, when Peter had seen, he saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus said to him, "So I will have him to remain till I come. What is it to thee? Follow thou me." This saying therefore went abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. And Jesus did not say to him, "He should not die," but, "So I will have him to remain till I come. What is it to thee?" This is that disciple who giveth testimony of these things, and hath written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Peter, turning about, saw that disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Alphonsus de Liguori, my dear faithful, tells an extraordinary story about a certain Catholic man. The man went to Mass on Sundays and holy days, but he rarely received the sacraments. He would attend Mass, but without any devotion or even attention. He did not think about the great mysteries contained in the Mass, nor did he think about our Lord being substantially present in the Eucharist. Now, one day, while attending Mass in his customary way without devotion, as some Catholic people do, this man received a solemn rebuke. He was corrected, though, in a most surprising way. And this is what happened, as St. Alphonsus tells us. The priest had almost finished the Mass. As he was saying the last gospel, he came to the words, "Et verbum caro factum est," or in English, "And the word was made flesh." These are the words at which we ordinarily genuflect. But this particular man made no external act of reverence. That man, as usual, was not concerned with what was going on around him. Thus, showing his lack of love and appreciation for all our Savior had done for him, as everyone else genuflected, he alone remained standing. And at that same instant, a devil struck him in the face. Imagine the man standing there being struck from out of nowhere. Bewildered, he staggered and regained his balance. Then he slowly looked around, trying to find out who had hit him. It was at that moment that the evil spirit scolded the man. The devil said to him, "Thankless wretch, thou hearest that a God was made man for thee, and do you not even deign to bend your knee?" The demon went on to say, "Oh, if God had done the like for me, I should be eternally occupied in thanking him." Now, today, my dear faithful, as I said before, is the feast of St. John the Apostle. And as we read in today's Gospel, our Lord had a special place in his heart for St. John. He loved St. John above the other disciples, and thus St. John is described as that disciple whom Jesus loved. He is, in fact, called the beloved disciple. He alone was privileged to rest his head upon the Sacred Heart at the Last Supper. As it says in the Gospel, Peter saw that disciple whom Jesus loved, who also leaned on his breast at supper. St. John truly understood the love of God contained in the mystery of the Incarnation, and thus St. John loved Jesus in return. It is thus very fitting that the feast of St. John falls within the octave of Christmas. It is fitting because of the special love our Lord had for St. John and the special love St. John had for our Lord. For when we see God as a helpless infant, we are given one of the greatest proofs of his love for us. And it should move us to love him in return. Due to this great love, it was to St. John that our Lord entrusted his Blessed Mother as he hung upon the cross. Referring to this, St. Jerome says, "John, the apostle and evangelist, whom Jesus loved the best, who lay upon the Lord's bosom, and who alone merited to hear from the cross, 'Behold thy mother.'" You can really see how much St. John loved our Lord by reading his gospel and his epistles. They are full of doctrine, but especially on the love of God. He wrote in his first epistle, "Dearly beloved, let us love one another, for charity is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." In fact, St. John Chrysostom dares to say that St. John in his gospel has taught the angels things they never knew, the secrets of the incarnate Word, that is, the love Christ has for mankind. St. John is thus called the doctor of the cherubim and the seraphim, the highest order of the angels. And so, as the angels have done, we too ought to learn from St. John to know and love our Lord. We just celebrated, my dear faithful, the magnificent feast of Christmas. And now let us continue celebrating the wonderful mystery of the Incarnation with the Church during the next 40 days of Christmastide. The world, by this time, usually throws out the Christmas tree. But the Church, so overjoyed at this mystery, continues the celebration for 40 days, from Christmas itself to Candlemas Day, that is, February 2nd. During these 40 days, we ought to think about the birth and nativity of our Lord and all the glorious truths it contains. Too often, we get caught up in our daily activities and don't think about the true meaning of Christmas. But if we really consider the Incarnation and all this mystery implies, we will surely be moved to a greater love for our Lord, as was St. John. Let us love God, my dear faithful, because he has first loved us. And really, that is all that he wants in return. God loves us so much that he seeks nothing else from us but our love. As Saint Bernard remarks, when God loves, he desires nothing else than to be loved in return. And how can we not love him in return for all he has done for us? In return for his becoming a man and being born into this world to suffer and to die for us. We have heard, my dear faithful, many stories of kings and queens who left wealth, honors, and their very kingdoms and entered the cloister and became religious, that there, in poverty and obscure seclusion, they might the more unreservedly give themselves to the love of their Savior. We also know the stories of the many martyrs who joyfully underwent their torments and death. All these men and women did this to repay in some measure the affection of God. They made a return of love to their God, who stooped down to become incarnate and to die for love of them. But there are many more men who have not made a return of love to God. In fact, the greatest part of men have combined to repay God with nothing but ingratitude. And so we should ask ourselves today on the feast of St. John, the beloved disciple, what have I done to repay Jesus Christ for all he has done for me? Ask yourself, what sort of return have I made up to this time for the love God has given to me? And consider if you have ever seriously reflected what it means for a God to be made man and to die for you. Why should Bethlehem's child love us to death, even to the death of the cross? What more could Jesus have done to win our love? Even the devil in today's story understood how incredible is the mystery of the incarnation. But too often, many people are like the man in the story. They are cold and indifferent to the love of God for them. And this can be manifested in the practical order by carelessness with which they attend Mass, or so often putting themselves in the occasions of sin, such as movies and the internet, which can often be so dangerous. Be resolved in this Christmas season to never deliberately do anything to offend the Christ child, and to try in every possible manner to please him and to thank him. For remember, our love is proved by action, that is, by good deeds, and especially by devout and persevering prayer. Let us not be like the man in the story who did not appreciate his faith or the love of Christ, but let us rather be like St. John, who loved Christ more than anything else. And in order to obtain this gift of divine love more quickly and more surely, let us have recourse to those who loved God the most. And by this I mean, let us have recourse to Mary, his mother, and St. John, our Lord's beloved disciple. Ask these heavenly patrons for assistance in helping you grow in the knowledge and love of the divine infant. They were his closest companions on earth, so surely they will be the best ones to help us. And remember that for the next 40 days, especially, to have the true spirit of Christmas, For a Christmas is truly merry, because it is recognized to be not a day, not a season, but Christmas marks the beginning of our salvation. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.